Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Audible is the home of storytelling, and it lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. In fact, I've been really into thrillers and true crime lately, and I just got back from a long car trip where I was listening to the latest zombie Fallout book, Bridging the Gap. And I swear, I had to keep checking the back seat for any glowing eyes as I drove home on that deserted highway. In fact, on so many of my journeys, Audible is there for me, with comedy, bestsellers, history, exclusive originals, and more. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/built or text BUILT to 500-500. That's audible.com/built or text BUILT to 500-500. We've all been there. Maybe we used one or two misleading words in a shared document, and then the whole team spends a lot of wasted time trying to get on the same page. But we don't need to make those mistakes. Grammarly is a trusted AI writing partner that saves your company from miscommunication and all of the wasted time and money that goes with it. I spend a lot of time writing. I write scripts, emails, speeches, proposals, you name it. And Grammarly helps me find the right tone. It does so much more than correct grammar. It's almost like a trusted writing partner. And when every word your team writes is clear, concise, and on brand, everything gets better. Teams that communicate better with Grammarly report 52% less time spent writing sales emails and 66% less time spent editing marketing content. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly to work faster and hit their goals while keeping their data secure. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Hey, everyone. Want to grow your business faster and stronger? Wondering how to find and keep top talent? Well, it starts with your company culture. Your company's identity and operations depend on the culture you create. Fortunately, there's Insperity, a leading HR provider. Their specialists show you how to build a culture aligned with your business goals, driving success. Download their free ebook, The Future of Business is Culture, at Insperity.com for ways to create a culture that fuels growth. With the right people, processes, and values in place, your company can realize its full potential. Visit Insperity.com to see how Insperity provides HR that makes a difference. Hey, welcome to How I Built This Resilience Edition. I'm Guy Raz. So each week, I've been doing live video conversations with founders and entrepreneurs about how they're building resilience into their businesses right now. And in case you miss them when they happen live, we're posting excerpts right here in your podcast feed. And today, I'm bringing you my conversation with Sarah LaFleur, the founder of MM LaFleur. We featured Sarah on the podcast just a few months ago in February, but since then, of course, a lot has changed. MM LaFleur sells high-quality, classic clothing to working women who don't want to think too hard about getting dressed in the morning. But since the global health and economic crisis, Sarah's customers, many of whom work in law, finance, and politics, aren't going into the office. So these days, Sarah's learning to pivot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was kind of crazy how quickly things turned, you know. We knew COVID was coming, and actually, because we have a lot of partners out in East Asia and Southeast Asia, we, even back in January, we knew that this was really affecting our supply chain and our partners. We said to ourselves, like, this could really become a problem if it comes to the US, but I think we were honestly just a little naive at that point. And then come Monday, I think this was March 12th or something, we had our best retail day and we were saying like, huh, maybe like COVID won't affect us. And then 5 days later, we closed all of our stores. And just even in all the scenario planning we had done, nothing I think prepared us for just how much worse it was going to be.
Yesterday, we had Jen Hyman on from Rent the Runway. And, you know, one of the points she made is that most businesses aren't prepared for low or no revenue periods for an extended amount of time.
It's totally true. I mean, the first thing actually we did is we actually looked at our insurance policy. It's that thing called act of God, right? You never really anticipate an act of God situation when you're running your business because, damn, it's really hard enough as it is. Like, I think, you know, being in New York, we experienced Hurricane Sandy. And then there was, you know, also that period where electricity just shut off. But even those, I think the recovery period was 2 to 3 weeks at best. This is totally unprecedented.
We had Marcia Kilgore on. She described how last year was such an incredible year for her shoe brand that they ordered like 30% more inventory. And of course, they're left with so much of that inventory because they depend on retailers. Are you facing a similar challenge?
You know, I think one thing that maybe is in our favor is we as a business have a lot of evergreen inventory. Inventory is a funny one. Like, you can never win. You have too much, you lose. You have too little, you lose. It's always a tricky thing. I think one thing that we as a team have been talking about is, like, for example, the summer collection. We ordered the summer collection thinking everyone was going to be out and about and enjoying the summer and having brunch outdoors and whatever it is, right? And so we're lucky that even though maybe not all of that inventory is necessarily situationally appropriate, we have a lot of great evergreen inventory that we've been holding on to. So a lot of what we're doing internally is saying, like, okay, how can we take this inventory that we have and actually market it differently and make it appealing to her in this situation that she's living in? One example I'll give is just, we have these pants called Colby Pants Origami Suiting. And it was called Origami Suiting because it was considered a suiting pant, but it had an elastic waistband. You could just fold it up and throw it in your suitcase and you can pull it out on the other end, wrinkle free, and it's also machine washable. So we renamed it Origami Joggers, which is actually how I wear those pants because it has a great elastic waistband. And sales basically had gone from, like, call it, we were selling 100 units. It had gone from like 100 units to 8 units right after COVID hit. Now it's surpassed 100 units again and become our, I think it was our second bestseller the past 2 weeks. So a lot of what we're realizing is, like, recontextualizing your inventory goes a long way, I think, if you're in the business of selling real products.
Sarah, let me ask you, you've had to make a whole series of decisions that you just never anticipated having to make. Can you kind of, like, walk me through, you know, sort of how you've approached just leadership over the last 8 weeks and 10 weeks and what you've started to learn about yourself as a leader?
Yeah. Aside from maybe the store closings and, I mean, really talking about the safety of our team, I think every other decision I have made in some other context. So whether that's about cost cutting or having to restructure the team, furlough's a new one. We've never done that before. But the tricky thing about COVID is that all these decisions are happening at the same time, as opposed to in separate situations. And also, because all these things are happening at the same time and the world is changing so rapidly, that decision that you made a week ago is really no longer relevant this week. So it's just the speed of decision making that I think is accelerated so much. And then just in terms of, like, how I am managing as a leader, I think fundamentally it starts with the question of, like, are you in a good place to make those decisions? And what I mean by that is it's incredibly stressful. I'm sure there isn't a single CEO out there who isn't up at 4 a.m., you know, thinking like, oh God, what am I going to do about that? But the most important thing is kind of keeping your wits about you. That's really what I have prioritized and I've learned to prioritize over the years, because I've had experiences where I feel myself spiraling out of control. And when you do that, there is not a sound decision that's going to come out of you. So a lot of what I am focused on, truthfully, is just kind of checking in with myself and saying, like, Sarah, mentally, are you good? You know, are you in a position to make good decisions?
Yeah, that was a question from Betsy Suda. She asked, you know, what strategies are you using for dealing with stress and pressure? And she referenced, I think, the podcast where she says, are you still having whiskey on ice in the middle of the night moments?
Totally. I'm pregnant now, and that I have to say I miss my whiskey more than anything. So I switched to tonic with lots of lime juice. So it's really hard. But, you know, I would say one thing that feels dramatically different for me right now is I've got a stellar executive team who I adore, and they're very calm and very supporting of each other and supporting of the team. And I haven't always had that. You know, I think between 2018 and 2019, we had to go through another big restructuring. And when that happened, I felt so alone at that time. And I just remember, like, popping Tums every day at work because, like, you know, that's how you keep your acid reflux.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a miserable time for me. You know, I think I was so darn focused on not letting my team see that I was not in a good place. But ultimately, I was miserable. And Well, long story short, like my two closest girlfriends and my husband kind of staged this intervention that said, like, you are not okay. You need some help. Like you need to figure this out, which led me to kind of rethinking my executive team. I brought in someone phenomenally experienced. He talks a lot about like 2001 and then the crash after Lehman. I think even just seeing this crisis through his eyes, I mean, I was working when Lehman happened, but I was an analyst. I wasn't seeing the really tough decisions that were being made at top. And so just to have him and my other executives nearby me, it's been a real change.
You know, Sarah, it's still early. We're like 10 weeks into this, right? But are there creative ways that you're thinking about shifting around and meeting your customers in a different way to try and meet the moment?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've never seen ourselves as a workwear brand. We've always seen ourselves as a brand for working women. And that distinction might seem like, what's the difference? But it turns out there's a big one, especially under COVID, right? Where suddenly working women, a lot of them working moms are having to go through an entirely different pace of life. One of the first things we did was we launched a Slack channel to our customers, our MM community, and just invited them to join. And then we have, you know, one of the Slack channels, I think, is called MM Lafer, where our customers are just sharing, honestly, like dog and cat photos. But like from that, ultimately, like there are a lot of things that came out of that Slack channel. There's now an MM job board for people who have been let go and are looking for new jobs. So MM customers are actually uploading and sharing different opportunities that have come their way and using it as, you know, a tool to just help other people find jobs, other MM customers find jobs. So that's been really inspiring. Another thing that we launched is virtual appointments because, you know, one of the things that we really love in our stores is a lot of our customers book these one-on-one appointments. You know, the whole point is like, you don't have to comb through all this merchandise. It's our stylists who are going to do the work for you. And obviously that is no longer happening, but we launched virtual appointments and it's now doing, I think, as much revenue as one of our best stores. I think a lot of women see this as like a little like self-care moment for themselves where you get to take 30, 45 minutes and someone else is saying like, hey, how are you doing? What are your clothing needs? Like the conversations go much deeper than clothing needs. Like I've got two kids at home. My husband has COVID and so he's not here. Wow. And so I need to make sure that I look appropriate for the call, but I'm going to also be holding a baby simultaneously. Like what outfits do you think make sense? That level of conversation that's now happening in our virtual appointments. So maybe virtual appointments is actually more working mom friendly than asking a mom to come into a store. So definitely a lot of innovative things coming out of this moment. Acts of desperation will make you think creatively.
When we come back in just a moment, we're going to hear how Sarah plans to pivot her marketing strategy and what she hopes to take away from this difficult period. Stay with us. I'm Guy Raz, and you're listening to How I Built This, Resilience Edition from NPR. Successful companies don't happen overnight. It takes an awful lot of grit, determination, and teamwork. Our sponsor, Atlassian, knows this better than anyone. Their team has spent over 20 years creating software that powers collaboration for teams around the world. By creating software like Jira and Confluence to improve companies' workflow, Atlassian is on a mission to make impossibility a reality. And now, they're ushering in the next era of teamwork with Atlassian Intelligence. When you think of AI, pizza may not be the first thing that comes to mind. But global pizza chains are actually using AI to scan their pies and make sure they meet their quality standards. From space exploration to making pizza to producing podcasts like the one you're listening to right now, Atlassian thinks there's a lot about AI that companies should be excited about. Atlassian Intelligence transforms teamwork by empowering AI-human collaboration. Atlassian's AI-powered software can help you glean new insights from your data, boost individual productivity by eliminating menial tasks, and help your team make faster, more informed decisions to produce the best results for your customers. And the best part? With Atlassian Intelligence in your corner, you can trust that your work is protected and kept confidential. This isn't just a small step. It's a giant leap in accelerating work. Atlassian AI-powered software like Jira and Confluence help teams accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how Atlassian AI can help power high-performing teams at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian squarespace.com. Atlassian. This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for building your brand, engaging your customers, and growing your business online. So if you're running a business like the founders on this show, then you'll love some of Squarespace's features. Whether you sell physical goods, digital content, or services, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online, including lots of payment options for customers at checkout, as well as easy client invoicing. Squarespace also makes email campaigns super easy with customizable email templates for converting subscribers into loyal customers. And Squarespace has tons of analytics so you know where all your site visits and sales are coming from. So check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/built to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. On our podcast, we love to highlight businesses that are doing things a better way so that you can live a better life. That's why when I found Mint Mobile, I had to share. Mint Mobile ditched retail stores and all those overhead costs and instead sells their phone plans online and passes those savings on to you. For a limited time, they're passing on even more savings with a new customer offer that cuts all Mint Mobile plans to $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Before I switched to Mint Mobile, I was paying a lot more money every month for my old wireless plan, and the service wasn't that great. But with Mint Mobile, every plan comes with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/built. That's mintmobile.com/built. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/built. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey, welcome back to How I Built This Resilience Edition. So a lot has changed at MM LaFleur since stay-at-home restrictions have been in place. Sarah's team has started to do virtual consults with clients who want to look professional during video calls. And Sarah's thinking about the future of work because it'll probably change the future of her business. I think there's no doubt there's going to be a disruption to the way we work. What does that mean for how your business will have to pivot? Because you're going to have to meet your customers where they are, right? It may mean that fewer professional women are going into an office every day. Like, sort of walk me through how MM LaFleur may kind of become a sort of almost a different company in the future.
We've been spending a lot of time thinking about that. But I think one big aha moment I had is we actually were already seeing this trend for a few years. I think last time when I was on your podcast, we talked about the launch of Power Casual and how that was our fastest growing category. And so that was really freelancers, women who worked in tech or marketing, media, more casual industries. It's now 53% of our revenue. Wow. Pre-COVID, it was already, I want to say like in the early 40s, but basically COVID just like pushed it up. So now it's the majority of our sales. We were lucky that we had already kind of pivoted into that direction. And then this COVID thing is for sure only going to accelerate it. I mean, it's a great question. Like suiting, what does suiting mean in this new world? My aunt, she's a public defender and she only wears skirt suits to court because she says, you know, pantsuits, you never know what kind of judge you're going to get and you just never want to hurt your client's chances. Now she's doing Zoom by court and she doesn't actually have to wear a skirt suit. I mean, she's probably wearing something underneath, but you know, so maybe the need for skirt suits go out the window. But I think, again, we were fortunate that that wasn't such a big part of our business anymore.
I mean, it's amazing because what really started in 2011 as a brand for professional women, and many of your initial clients were lawyers. And we talked about this on the podcast. That's one of the reasons why you have such a big presence in Washington, D.C., because there's so many women lawyers in D.C. who were early clients. So this could really kind of pivot into a business that is where you still have that, the professional clothing, but also more of the casual leisure wear.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what we take so much pride in, what my creative director Miyako takes so much pride in, is she wants to make the most comfortable clothes that are machine washable and easy to care for and also makes you look good, right? So they're clothes that make you look like you stepped it up a notch, but all the factors of comfort are there. That's going to matter regardless of whether you're having to be in a courtroom or you're having to work, 8 hours a day, just like staring at your computer screen on Zoom. So I think our customer isn't going anywhere. I think it's just, we're going to need to keep moving forward with her.
This is an important question. This is from Rajni Arora. And Rajni asks, how are you marketing your products right now?
So one of the big things that we did right before we went into COVID, we were going to dress any female candidate who was running for office for free. We were going to rent our clothes to her or donate our clothes to her. And then she, after her use, would donate it to Bottomless Closet, which is another wonderful nonprofit organization. It turned into this huge marketing initiative. Yeah. Like Croatian media outlets were writing about it. But obviously there are a lot of women who are not campaigning on the campaign trail anymore. Right. A lot of their campaigning is being done from home. One thing we're doing there is actually just featuring some of these women and getting them to talk about, what are the issues that they care about and how are they campaigning during this difficult time? We're sharing that on we have a newsletter called the M-Dash. So we're continuing to kind of, make sure that customers understand what it is that we stand for, even if women aren't necessarily out there talking. Digital marketing, that's kind of, if that's top of funnel marketing and digital marketing is all the way at the bottom, we continue to do that too. We have pulled back ad spend on just channels where we were seeing, in marketing speak, long payback periods because we wanted our money to be as efficient as possible. But all of our ads, one of our best performing ads and emails came from the quarantine uniform, 7 perfect pieces for quarantine. That was really one of our best performing ads. And so I think pretending like the world hasn't changed is not good for anyone, especially not your business. And I think recognizing the situation that your customers are in that's marketing 101.
It's so interesting. I want to get to one more question. This is from Jonathan Lander. He asks, do you think that this will have a disproportionate impact on women in business? And if so, how could we minimize that impact?
Yes. I mean, I see it even around me. I know of some friends who have either gone part-time or they just find that the lifestyle of taking care of kids and having to manage a full-time job totally impossible. So they're either taking time off or leaving. It's a real thing. And it's really painful to see how, the burden is falling on women. I think disproportionately, it's probably affecting lower income women, but obviously in the kind of professional class too, you're seeing it. And I think, trying to understand women's place in the new normal workforce and how we get more women back into it, that's going to be a huge challenge.
When you look back at this moment now, what is it that you want to have learned from it or to have changed about the way you see yourself as a leader, the way you see your business, the way you see your life? When you can reflect on it and say, that's what I learned from that time period, what do you want that to be?
The first thing I would say is I think this has always been my number one goal, that I want to be known as the leader who is really there for her team, because I connected to them and attached to them. So that's probably number one. A personal motto that my parents always say is, if you meet triumph and disaster and treat them both just the same, it's a poem from Rudyard Kipling's If, right? This idea of meeting both the greatest wins in your business and the greatest crises in your business. And I think if you can stay true to yourself through all of that, that's the most important thing, I think, for any founder, any business owner. So, there are going to be so many challenging moments ahead. I think to be able to emerge true to yourself is probably the most important thing.
Love it. Sarah LaFleur, co-founder of MM LaFleur, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's wonderful you're doing this. Thank you for having me.
That's an excerpt from my conversation with Sarah LaFleur, the founder of MM LaFleur. To see our full interview, you can go to facebook.com/howibuiltthis. And if you want to see all of our past live interviews, you can find them there and at youtube.com/NPR. If you want to find out more about the How I Built This Resilience series or other virtual NPR events, you can go to nprpresents.org. This episode was produced by Candace Lim with help from John Isabella, Julia Carney, Neva Grant, and Jeff Rogers. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you next week. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to How I Built This from NPR. It's so important to give children gifts that inspire them to learn more about topics they love. And that's why I love KiwiCo. With super fun science, technology, and art projects, KiwiCo is perfect for inspiring creative confidence and a lifelong love of learning. I've used KiwiCo with my kids for many, many years now, and it's been amazing to see how they've built these really sophisticated engineering projects that have been designed specifically for their age ranges. KiwiCo projects are designed by a team of educators, makers, engineers, and rocket scientists who brainstorm hundreds of ideas to create the most exciting, age-appropriate, and educational projects. And the projects are tested and approved by kids. No crate leaves without their thumbs up. Discover hands-on fun with KiwiCo. Get your first month free on any crate line at kiwico.com/built. That's your first month free at kiwico.com/built.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.